Welcome aboard the Popular Mechanics for Kids air episode.
The emergency exits are at the front, middle, and back of the aircraft.
But what happens in an actual emergency? Could you escape a plane fire? I'm put to the test.
In the unlikely event of a water landing, your seat cushion can be used as a flotation device.
In the unlikely event we're attacked in midair, I need an F-18 fighter pilot. These jets are the black belts of combat flying.
In the unlikely event that an engine stops, do not panic. We can still fly with the other one. And after I go to the Rolls-Royce engine plant, I might know how to fix the broken one.
And I have the ride of my lifetime
in a flying machine that needs no engines, only air pressure.
Hold on, wait!
In the event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure,
or in the event that Jay goes to the bathroom before you, masks will fall from the ceiling. Hope you enjoy the show and thanks for flying.
Popular Mechanics for Kids. I'm Jay.
And I'm Alicia.
Man, it'd be so fun to be a pilot.
Yeah, it was cool that the airline let us use the plane. Only if we're careful.
Of course we're careful. Wonder what this button does.
Hey, what are you doing?
What?
Look.
Ejection seat.
Yeah.
Oops. Thanks, Alicia.
You know, you really gotta be more careful.
Uh-oh. Oh, man, we're moving. Do something.
Like what?
Maybe this will stop it.
You should call the control tower.
I think you should.
No, I think you should.
In a lot of airplane accidents, it's not the crash that kills you. The hard part is getting out safely. If a fire breaks out inside a plane, it could burn up the air we breathe in only 90 seconds. You can die from choking on smoke in less time than it takes to read this safety card. Getting out alive means getting out fast. If this were real, I'd be dead by now. This is an airline simulator in Oklahoma City. This is where they have emergency drills. They can test airplane designs to see if people can escape in an accident. There's a right way and a wrong way to get out of a plane, and it could make the difference of surviving a crash or dying in one.
First, you have to survive the crash.
And how do you do that?
Keep your seatbelt on at all times when you're in the airplane. If you didn't have your seatbelt on, you'd be lifted out of your seat and you'd hit the first hard object you come to, and that could either kill you, break your neck, or something like this.
What's the next thing you'd do?
Get up and leave your seat as rapidly as possible to the nearest usable exit. The speed is essential. Alicia, we're going to make this easy for you today. We're going to put you in this seat, give you the opportunity to open the door, step out on the wing, and then get away from the aircraft as rapidly as possible.
So I just go for it?
Just go for it.
Okay. Normally, they don't let kids sit in an exit seat, mainly because the door weighs a lot, as I can see. So I just throw it out?
Out it goes.
Okay.
Follow me.
All right.
And then run away now. Run away.
So how did I do?
Well, it took you about 16 seconds, and that's quite good for someone your age and size.
Now let's see how the pro does. Go. Three and a half seconds. Is the evacuation slide any easier?
Well, an evacuation slide is not a safe way to get out of an airplane. It's a quick way to get you from a dangerous situation to a less dangerous situation. People have broken their necks, arms, all types of broken bones going down those slides. But a broken leg is far superior to dying in a fire.
Right. So, how does it work?
Well, on a real plane, when you open the door, the slide is automatically deployed. Within less than 10 seconds, it's ready for you to jump out on and get out of the airplane.
So, which is the safest seat to sit in? I'll start from there.
Each accident has a different makeup. You pick any seat you want. One accident, you could have a safe seat that might kill you in another accident.
I'm ready. He says I can get out of here in 30 to 45 seconds. Headlights near the floor. Ah! Okay, so I put my hands close to my body and I jump out 2 feet.
That's right. Okay. Go for it.
So how do you think I did?
You did real well. Survived the accident. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You're alive.
When they build a new kind of airplane for the first time, they do this. They break the wings. It's to make sure the wings are heavy enough to carry the weight of the plane, and that they'll hold up in extreme turbulence. But it's also to make sure that they aren't too heavy, or else the plane wouldn't be as fuel efficient. A new plane is put through grueling tests to make sure it's safe for flying. This plane is going to abort takeoff. Weight is roaring down the runway, and it has to stop before the runway ends. That can't be easy on the brakes. They catch fire. But it's okay. Takeoff. So the fire won't. That only works for 5 minutes. They still need fire crews to put out the fire completely.
You know, the very first story I ever did for PMK was in an airplane hangar. Just like this one. I stood inside this enormous jet engine.
I remember that. You were so young then.
It was only 8 months ago.
True. But your voice in that story sounds just like the high-pitched noise of the plane engine. Face it, you've grown up a lot this season.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
If your car's engine breaks down, you can easily go to a gas station or garage. But when you're in a 767 at 43,000 feet up in the air, you don't exactly have that option. That's why a plane's engine must be maintained regularly. One of the places that does that is the Rolls-Royce plant. Hey, where's the rest of the engine? Think your room is messy? Take a look at this. And about how many pieces or parts are there to each engine?
A little bit over 10,000 pieces in an engine.
10,000 pieces? That's like a giant jigsaw puzzle.
Well, what we're doing is we're taking all the modules out of the engine. Then we're going to split all the modules down into the detailed pieces, and we're going to inspect them, check them out, fix them, put it back together again.
Hey. That's me. What is this?
Well, that's what we call a boroscope. It's a little TV camera that allows us to look inside the engine and see what kind of condition the blades and things are in. It allows us to take a look at the blades and see if they're cracked or if they're damaged. And it might let us not take certain parts of the engine apart.
The way they maintain engines is the same way they maintain the entire airplane. Every once in a while, they have to strip it down to its bare bones and put it back together again.
There's an A check every 500 hours. There's an N check every 3,000 hours, and we have a big overhaul. We take everything apart at an H check every 72 months or every 6 years. We spend about 3 maintenance hours for every hour of flying.
That's like my dad taking his car to the garage, and it's staying there 3 days for every day he drives.
Exactly.
Yikes.
There's so much testing to be done on a 767, especially on the wiring, that if you would put all the wires end to end, you'd have to go around the world once.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, I'm pretty much sure.
Well, you're a bit off.
Oh, not by much.
But you're still off.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Huh?
The jet engine. This is an example of a jet engine. And this is how it appears on an airplane. A toy balloon is similar to a jet engine. Compressed air is forced to accelerate as it exits the narrow spout of the balloon and propels the balloon forward. Unfortunately, the amount of compressed air in a balloon is limited. If we put a fan on the front of the balloon, the amount of compressed air becomes unlimited. A small amount of this air is packed into a smaller chamber, burnt with fuel so that it becomes extremely hot and more pressurized, and shot through a turbine. The spinning turbine is what rotates the fan at the front of the engine, and both sources of compressed air exiting the jet engine at a high speed is what drives the engine and the airplane attached to it forward.
Too many jets that propel themselves as fast as the F-18 Hornet. That's pretty impressive. Let's meet Captain Dan Trinchuk. How does it feel to fly an F-18?
Actually, it's very exciting. It's a lot of fun. You get to fly very fast, very high, and at times very low to the ground.
There's so many buttons.
There are a lot of buttons in this airplane. Each button has a specific function to complete. Mostly to do with software in the aircraft. All these buttons are able to control images that are projected on the heads-up display here, what we call the HUD. We're able to look outside the airplane and maneuver our airplane and attack either another aircraft or attack a target on the ground. But in order to do that, we don't want to have our head looking into the cockpit, so that's why they call this a heads-up display.
So how fast does this thing go?
Actually, it goes very fast. It goes 1.8 times the speed of sound. Now, the speed of sound is 760 miles per hour.
Okay.
You're looking at it at about 1,350 miles per hour. We look at going from New York to L.A., that would take us approximately 2 hours to fly that the whole distance. This is an anti-G suit. It helps protect me while I'm flying the airplane. If I wasn't wearing this, I would faint while I was pulling some G on the aircraft.
G's are the forces you feel in a sharp turn. The blood rushes away from your head, which is why you could faint. The inflated G-suit squeezes you, forcing the blood to stay in your upper body and head.
Here's a helmet we wear. Don't touch any buttons. We don't want you to take off.
Okay. G-suit!
Today we are going to talk about aerodynamics. Oh. A good long-distance precision flyer. For a plane to fly, it needs lift. That's the upwards pull. It has to be strong enough to overcome the weight of the plane. Gravity tends to make things fall. And for a plane, that's a bad thing. Two other things. The thrust of the plane, that makes it go forward, like a jet engine, or with paper airplanes, throwing it. Your thrust has to be stronger than your drag. That's everything that slows the plane down, like wind or a blackboard. But do you want to see the ultimate paper airplane? Woo-hoo! Before we get to the ultimate paper airplane, you have to be able to expertly fly the basic kind. I got these pointers from Ken Blackburn. He's the guy that holds the world record for the longest paper airplane flight. He also co-wrote the paper airplane book. So, the basics. You'll need a regular piece of paper. Construction paper is good, too. Fold your paper in half so you have a center line. Fold the edges in at the bottom, then fold in the flaps. turn the plane and fold it in half at the middle and fold the wings down. The most important part of making a good paper airplane is stability. Now, there are three kinds of stability. Pitch stability. Without this, your plane will fly up too fast or down too quick. If you want to make your plane more pitch stable, put a paper clip at the nose. If your plane turns on you, you have a problem with directional stability. The fins on the back stop the plane from turning around. If your plane goes in circles, you've got a problem with spiral stability. To fix that, make sure the wings are bent up a bit to make a Y shape. Let's see how long it'll stay airborne. Hey, that's 4-second flight. That's not bad. I think we can do better, though. Ken Blackburn set the world record with this next kind of airplane. Okay, fold the bottom 2/3 of your plane in 8 times. Fold the paper inwards, then turn your plane around, fold it in half along the middle, fold the wings up, flip it over, and fold the wing down. Make sure you get the wings in the Y shape. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we have built the world record holder! A little boring, though. Let's give it some pizzazz. Much better. But can I come close to the 18.8-second record? Here goes. Oh, 7 seconds. That's not bad. You should try it yourself, though. Now then, who's the guy responsible for throwing this airplane at me, huh?
That's not water, it's air. Scientists use wind tunnels to test airplanes. Here, they're blasting wind at this model to learn more about how planes perform under extreme turbulence.
Tomorrow morning, I'm scheduled for my very first flight in a hot air balloon during the Gatineau Hot Air Balloon Festival. I can't wait, it's gonna be so exciting. What are you doing? No, it's too early. Very early in the morning. That's the safest time to go up in a hot air balloon because there's very little wind.
Hey, you
guys ready?
Hi.
Hi, Alicia. How are you doing this morning?
Good, you?
You get up all right?
Yeah.
Okay, what we're going to do here is we're going to set up, and I'm going to need your help.
1, 2, 3!
Okay. We're going to do a burner test, okay? Yeah. Go ahead and pull that. So now we're done this, we're going to pull out the balloon and set up. Okay, guys, you ready?
Keep going.
So we're just going to pull this out here.
To inflate the balloon, the first thing you need to do is fill it with cold air. That's called the cold inflate. You do this by using this fan. Then later, you fill it with hot air. That makes the balloon rise. So where are we going?
I'm not sure.
What do you mean you don't know?
Wherever the winds take us.
So how do you steer?
Through the winds. We have a trade secret, actually. What we do is throw a little spitball off the side. We'll see which way the wind takes it, and that's where we find our currents. At different altitudes, there's different wind currents.
Right.
So the upper winds here right now are taking us towards the west. Even further up, it's taking us right towards the east. I'm going to burn here because we're falling.
So what instruments do you use?
Well, we have an altimeter, which tells us how high we are. And we have a variometer. It tells us how fast we're going up or down. So what we're going to do is come back down low. It's tree topping.
Tree topping.
We skim the top of the trees.
Is that dangerous?
Yes.
This is awesome.
Look out, we're going to hit some trees here. You can grab some tree if you want.
I got the very top of a tree.
I feel like I'm in the Wizard of Oz, you know?
There's no place like home.
It does look like cotton candy. Or maybe whipped cream, because it's so white. So how do we land?
Really, we release some hot air, okay, through this red line here, which vents the hot air out, and then we come down, and then we use the burners here to slow us down. Preferably, we like a field that's long with short green grass and no power lines.
So is that a good place to land over there near the baseball field?
It would be, but there's light standards there, so it's pretty long.
Look at the power lines. Are you sure we're going to make this?
I'm going to try. Hold on. We're going to try.
I'm coming, guys.
Hold on. Woo!
Woo!
More than 100 years ago, people tried some pretty crazy ways to get off the ground. Until finally, Wilbur and Orville Wright did it. On December 17th, 1903, the Wright brothers flew the world's first power-driven, heavier-than-air machine at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. The era of aviation was born.
See?
You know what? You're right. This would be a lot faster than waiting for everyone to leave out of the front of the plane.
Well, see you next time. And
hey, this is to be used only for emergencies.
We're TV hosts.
I mean, we're on TV?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How many people are watching?
Millions, maybe billions.
Billions?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see you next time on Popular Mechanics for Kids.
I'm out.
Hi, Mom.